Bishop challenged. The promised Messiah's challenge was addressed to Hindus, Christians, Jews, everybody. But nobody came forward. In different ways and on different occasions, he invited leaders of other religions to test the quality of contact with God, but to no avail. He invited the Bishop of Lahore, the head of the large diocese of North India, to have a trial with him over the efficacy of prayer. Had not the New Testament promised that if Christians had faith equal to a mustard seed, they would be able to move mountains? Muslims, likewise, had been told in their books that true believers could rely on the help and support of God and on the success of their prayers. It was fitting for the bishop, therefore, to join in prayers to God and find out whose prayer was heard, a Christian's or a Muslim's. The bishop turned a deaf ear. He found it safe to ignore the promised Messiah's challenge. The bishop's silence proved exasperating. Some English-edited newspapers attacked the bishop. Bishops drew fat salaries and made loud claims, they said. But when it came to a contest or trial of some sort, they withdrew from the field. The bishop was not to be moved. In spite of criticism, in spite of ridicule, he kept putting off the challenge. The promised Messiah repeated the challenge again and again, but nobody dared accept it. This approach on behalf of Islam proved as unanswerable as all the others. Every right-thinking person must acknowledge its importance and relevance. Its result was victory for Islam. Non-Muslims must become more and more aware of the lack of life in their respective religions. At the same time, they must also become aware of the visible life in Islam. The superiority of the truth of Islam must become more and more evident. In theoretical discussions, one can feel undefeated to the end, but when an issue is a practical and a factual one, the truth must be found on one side or the other. This approach, proposed and used by the promised Messiah, must show its deadly effects as time goes on. In the view of the right-thinking men, Islam has already won. No other religion can claim to be alive. The victory of Islam is already apparent. The five types of approach employed by the promised Messiah on behalf of Islam led Islam to victory over other religions. The work of the promised Messiah is therefore done. If Hazrat Mirza Sahib is not the promised Messiah, then the question is, what more will the true Messiah do when he comes? Will he convert people to Islam at the point of the sword? What use will forcible conversions be to Islam or to the converts? Consider a little. If Christians were to start converting Muslims by force, what should all of us and other decent men think and say of them? Should we not say this was wicked and foolish? Should we not then condemn the true Messiah in the same way for doing the same thing? No, no, no. Forcible ascensions to Islam would be a menace. They would harm Islam immeasurably and would turn all decent and freedom-loving men against it. The promised Messiah should have no use for the sword. His method must be the method of argument. By argument, by rational approach, by appeal to observation and experience, Hazrat Mirza Sahib has already proved Islam victorious. Hazrat Mirza Sahib, therefore, is the promised Messiah. He has done what the promised Messiah was to do. Sometimes it is said that the arguments used by Hazrat Mirza Sahib were not his own arguments, but ones that existed already. So how can the victory of Islam brought about by such arguments be attributed to him? The objection is futile. A sword without a swordsman can accomplish very little. It can do its work only when someone can be found who can wield it. The situation of Islam at the time of the promised Messiah was that the sword of argument which Islam had always used was present, but Muslims were not only not able to use it, but were not even aware of its existence. The promised Messiah received from God a fresh insight into the meaning of the Holy Quran. He deduced anew the truths of Islam and restated the arguments on which they were based. He then used those arguments in the defense of Islam and in Islam's battle against other religions. He taught the use of those arguments to his followers and others. The victory of Islam, therefore, is due to him. The Holy Quran, instead of helping Muslims and Islam, had become an encumbrance, a source of embarrassment for them. But for the promised Messiah, it would have remained so. A gun without a gunner becomes a menace, not for the enemy, but for the owner. For want of understanding, the Holy Quran had become a burden, a liability. Hazrat Mirza Sahib announced his claim and created a new faith, a new hope. The blessings and benefits of the Holy Quran began to show. He met the enemies of Islam with arguments which they were powerless to resist. They first found themselves defending and later found even defense difficult. Some addressed memorials to the government, praying it to stop Mirza Sahib's work on behalf of Islam. This was manifest defeat. The victory of Islam became certain. Nothing could now prevent its triumph over other religions.